What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show, and have we got a show for you. Drew McIntyre is still trolling, CM Punk is in Chicago, and The Rock is absolutely terrifying. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Justin Labar and Jimmy Corderas. What do you got for us?
Where do you want me to start? My goodness, starting with the old school WrestleMania 6 hat that I dug it out of the closet. I found it. And the Seth Rollins glasses, just to be different.
Yes, you are in the WrestleMania season. I love it. I think everyone else loves it too, man. This is going to be a fun episode. It's a jam-packed one. Packed to the rafters, Justin, as we would say. How you doing, Justin? How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Got some rest and relaxation time. Also had the wonderful Sunday episode of Busted Open, and my Washington Capitals are winning. We're on the good momentum, and life is good. And WrestleMania is 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away. I can't believe that we're this close to WrestleMania. I'm so pumped. Of course, I'm going to be heading over to Philly, so that means I'm going to be leaving in just over a week. Very excited for that, if I could rub that in everyone's faces. If you guys are going to be there, by the way, let me know. If someone's going to be there in the chat or whatever, let me know. I'd love to come say hello, chat with you, all that good stuff. If you guys remember my last trip to WrestleMania, I like to roam around and say hello to people, so maybe I'll bump into you at the stadium there. We got a lot of folks here today. This is going to be a fun episode. Yeah. And if you're here,
if you don't mind me, because you said you're going to Mania. What day are you getting there, by the way?
I'm getting there on the I'm flying in the 3rd, so I'll get there the afternoon of the 3rd. Are you going to be there?
Okay. I don't know. The wife and I may take a drive to Philly. It's not that far from Toronto.
Oh, my goodness. We should go. You should go. We should hang out. That'd be awesome to see you in person. I'd love to see you in person and find out that your height is way different than I expect. That's always what's really fun about seeing people.
How tall do you think I am?
I mean, I guess I've seen you on TV before, so you can't be that different. But I always think it's funny when you see someone you've only known through like a show like this, and they turn out to be Omos.
I'm a long way from there. Let's put it that way.
Well, Jack, to be fair, you spent years looking at him standing next to the Undertaker in between. So I don't think the height proportion is going to quite add up.
I'm going to see Jimmy. He's going to be like, he's actually going to be 6'5", but I'm so used to seeing him next to Andre that it's
gonna... Oh, man. Perfect. To be perfectly honest, 5'10". 5'10-ish, maybe 5'10 and a half at most, but that's it.
Okay, well, you always round up. If you're 5'10 and a half and you go 5'11, and if you're 5'11, just go 6 feet, Jimmy. Come on.
Hey, nobody ever embellishes their height in wrestling, do they?
Yeah, you know, I weigh 300 pounds, just so you guys know. We've got a lot of stuff going on as we let everyone settle in and find their seats. Again, everyone like, comment, share, subscribe as we get into this. We've got some news here, and as has been the case lately, it's not fun news. It's Ronda Rousey with some more stuff about Vince McMahon. Again, she's written a lot, so I'm not going to say the whole thing, but basically, in an interview with Cage Side Seats, Rousey elaborated on the issues that she had with WWE and with Vince McMahon, and saying that WWE was beholden to a near 80-year-old man, and that part of her decision to leave was that she didn't want to act out fantasies for a sicko. Again, not a direct quote. A lot of some four-letter words in there that was added, but you can read that on Wrestling Inc. Becky Lynch also commented on Vince McMahon, speaking to Irish Independent. She said, "It's very hard to reconcile that somebody else didn't have that experience and that other women didn't have that experience, especially when I had him to thank for my dream, for my husband, for my daughter, for the life that I have now. It's hard to see those two different people in my head, and trying to merge them as one becomes very difficult. You're reading these horrific allegations but about somebody that you look up to as very much, almost like a father figure." Justin, two very different, comments on everything going on with Vince McMahon. Ronda Rousey, some things that I think we've heard before, maybe confirming some of those things, but Lynch kind of showing that human side of what she's going through in all this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Becky Lynch certainly has had a longer time, longer tenure in WWE. So, so there's just more time with Vince in terms of, like she said, you know, thanking him for the opportunities and the career. Also, I mean, it's it should be noted too. I mean, you know, even if Becky decided that she was going to retire tomorrow, you know, her husband still works there. So that's a situation you got to kind of balance. Ronda, you know, Ronda obviously did not come up in pro wrestling. You know, she was a fan, but she did not come up in pro wrestling. She made her way in MMA. Was a crossover. So it's interesting what she experienced in the MMA world versus, you know, what that then, you know, how coming into the crazy carny world that can be pro wrestling and crazy carny that, and a lot of other things with Vince here. So it's, you know, but Ronda doesn't need WWE. I believe her. She says, I'm never coming back. So, you know, for her, she's going to say whatever she wants to say with no feeling of, oh, I got to walk back in the door ever. And, you know, and Vince is probably gone forever. But even still, she can say whatever she wants to say about WWE and probably is never going back there unless it's maybe to one day a Hall of Fame stage. These comments are just so hard. I mean, they're newsworthy. I'm not denying that. They're very newsworthy, but it's just wild. I'm still wrapping my head around sometimes some of these revelations and these experiences that people had. And Ronda's kind of crazy too, that Ronda was for so long in the last decade, when she had become the box office attraction she had in MMA and the UFC, and it became known, oh, she's rowdy Ronda Rousey as a homage to Piper, and she's a big fan. And then at Mania 31, she did that little bit of that thing in the ring with Hunter and Stephanie and The Rock. So it was like wrestling fans clamored for her for so long to cross over. She did. Kind of went sour quickly with the fans, quicker than I at least anticipated, and now she's out of WWE and doesn't have a nice word to say about it. It's just a wild that trajectory was not what I ever expected in Ronda Rousey's relationship with WWE, but here we are.
Yeah, Jimmy, I think a lot of people, to Justin's point, sort of fell off the Ronda Rousey train in WWE a while ago, and her comments now kind of shed a light on maybe why she wasn't giving it her all, as it appeared anyways, or at least that's what she was accused of from us here on the internet. But also, again, Becky Lynch, it's interesting. Two things can always be true at the same time, I always say. And right, Someone can be someone that made all your dreams come true and made your life better, and then also have another side to them. it's really a, it's got to be a very tough thing for people who have a close relationship with Vince McMahon.
Absolutely. It is very conflicting for them because of that close relationship that they had with Vince McMahon. And I don't want it to sound like I'm choosing sides here or I'm picking one side over the other, but I understand where Becky's coming from because I had that same sort of feeling where I didn't see this Vince McMahon or the Mr. McMahon. I saw the Mr. McMahon character on TV and I worked with Vince as him as my boss. And yes, he had the ability to say one day, if he didn't want you here, you weren't going to be there. Because he was the boss. And, you know, sometimes you have that little fear in the back of your head that, hey, hopefully I don't screw up because I don't want to get on the boss's bad side. But like to Becky, to what she was saying, I owe everything I have to that to that company. And Vince was in charge of that company at that time. I didn't see that other side. And like Becky said, trying to put these pieces in your brain where these accusations are coming, you're going, wow, I didn't see that in that person. And Ronda's experience there, obviously very different. And that's what happens in pro wrestling. Everybody's experience, regardless of what company it is, whether it's WWE, AEW, TNA, everybody's experience is different in the company. And some people feel that, you know, they may have gotten the shaft, so to speak, and haven't been utilized to their biggest potential and that sort of thing. I don't know. Maybe that was Ronda's mindset here where they didn't capitalize on her the way that she feels they could have. And that's where this place, this... I don't want to say tirade, but this where this feeling is coming from, I can't explain it. Only she can explain it. You know, obviously it's going to be in her book, but I hate to keep going back to this, but again, it's hard. It's hard to digest for someone who's been there and saw that other side.
Yeah.
Of Vince.
Yeah. It's obviously not a situation that's fun to discuss. And I'm sure Ronda Rousey's book is going to do very well. It'd be very interesting to see what the rest of her book has in it as well. Something that I think has been very interesting to see unfold recently as well, Jimmy, is Josh Barnett and this Bloodsport story and how he got Shayna Baszler on Bloodsport. GCW is a collective next week. He was talking about how he's actually spoken to a number of wrestlers who are on network television. Even went on to say that he's spoken with Malakai Black, CM Punk, says he loved Chad Gable, Bron Breakker, Charlie Dempsey, even Miro and Goldberg as people who we'd like to have on that show. And he also talked about how the reason he's been able to do this is because he's got good relationships with the people that he's worked with in the past. This is, I don't know if we've seen something like this where we've seen major stars from two different network companies being on a show in this way.
Yeah, it is a little different, and I like the fact that they are expanding their audience in this fashion. I like the fact that they're giving their talent opportunities to explore other directions. And, of course, for those who have watched the product, the Bloodsport GCW product, they know it's different from pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a form of mixed martial arts combined with pro wrestling because, correct me if I'm wrong, their rings do not have ropes,
right.
And you can only win matches via submission or a knockout, which is a completely different animal. There's no pinfall attempts. There's no false finishes or whatever. Their false finishes are actually different because they're in the process of trying to get someone to submit or trying to knock someone out. So it works differently. But as to the point of talent getting to work for other promotions, it gives talent an opportunity to not only go out and work somewhere else, but to explore different possibilities to help better themselves and hone their craft in a different way. As we say, the business of wrestling evolves over the years. And there's a way you can evolve it without losing that old school feel. You can mesh the two together. And I think that's what this Bloodsport product can bring to some of these talents and help them find themselves.
Yeah, I think it's very cool. Real quick, I do got to say, because he showed up. I am Error. Jack Farmer, acknowledge me. You showed up to the show. You're always here before the show. Glad to see you're here during the show. Appreciate you coming through, I am Error. Justin, now I said I don't think this ever happened before. Now I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd about wrestling sometimes. One of the nerdy things is I remember back in ECW when a WWF at the time, Taz, faced a WCW Mike Awesome in an ECW ring. I remember thinking that's the craziest thing that'll ever happen in pro wrestling. But here we are. This is a little different. And I know we can make jokes about forbidden doors and things like that, but this could be a really cool thing if more wrestlers get involved.
It could be. You know, look, as fans, it's very exciting. You know, yeah, and going back to that time period, you know, and especially when you had more of the wrestling magazines on the newsstand, I mean, yeah, it would always be different editions that had, like, their fantasy matchups of, like, what if it was Sting and WWE versus Shawn Michaels and, you know. Yeah, it's fun. For fans, it's fun. From a business standpoint, it does get complicated. You know, when we heard the news last week that Shayna Baszler was going to be involved, my first thought was, okay, this is cool and different for WWE to allow a talent to work somewhere else. But then my next thought was, well, Shayna Baszler's not doing anything significant at WrestleMania, obviously. You know, what if you're investing any bit of money around her on some match or program at WrestleMania, you're not going to risk her getting hurt 2 days before for another promotion. You know, so there's different complications to it as a business, but I mean, I'm all for it. It is fun, and the potential, I guess, is there. And it is totally an alternative product, as Jimmy kind of outlined all the differences there. And part of me wonders, you know, Triple H, when he was just running NXT, he was very, as much as he could be, because he was not the final boss, as much as he could be, he acknowledged some other promotions and acknowledge getting talent from other places, you know, on the independent circuit and around the world. So now that he has everything under his control at the highest level, you know, maybe this is a test of the waters of, hey, you know, we're entering into new ventures here soon. We're going to Netflix for Raw next year, and, you know, we're on Peacock for a few more years, but what happens after that? Maybe this is testing the waters of, can we have more content under our umbrella that is still their identity? It's still, in this case, GCW, but somehow it's under the overarching umbrella of content, of hours of content that we deliver to our distributors. And then in return, we give, in this case, GCW a flat check each year to help them out, to help them keep generating, you know, it's expanding your minor leagues, essentially. I don't know. It brings a lot of potential. This entire topic does, in terms of in my head of where this could go.
You know what I'm thinking here too is, because it is kind of a shoot style approach there, it has a much more, I hate to say, real kind of MMA pro wrest, like, or amateur wrestling vibe to it. I think about that, and I think about how WWE now has access to a whole roster of people with MMA backgrounds, that maybe the transition going straight into a pro wrestling ring isn't as easy as going into something like that, and how that might be a gateway for former UFC fighters to transition into the WWE, or maybe a whole new brand where that's where they use the UFC fighters who maybe have a personality but aren't necessarily going to make it in UFC anymore. That could be an option there too. So a lot of interesting stuff there. Again, that'll be on GCW's The Collective. I mean, just if I could put a fun little plug in there, I'm going to be doing commentary for Defy Wrestling on GCW Collective. The first show on the whole slate. We kick things off. I'm going to be talking over a bunch of matches there. So check that out. That'll be a great show. I'm actually on another show too. Don't know if I'm allowed to say yet. It's not really surprise.
Say it.
I can't say. I mean, they, do I, don't, it. I don't have. I don't have the. I'll tell you guys off the air. But
just do it.
It's not like a surprise thing. I just don't know if I'm allowed to yet. So I'm gonna play it safe and not say which one.
Kayfabe, brother.
I'll tell you after we go off air. I'm sure if you follow me on social media, you'll probably find out very quickly once I get the okay. But let's get into this show. Let's talk about what's going on in WWE, because people are saying, this is a pretty good episode. Now, before we do, as always, make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe. Thanks to everyone who's in the chat with us. We got Jonah and Kevin and Tox and Laura and Ethan and Beer and Tommy O and Kenny and Leonard and Jonathan. We got so many people. I feel bad. I can't say everybody's name here. We got Dustin and Rocky and Max. And I mean, I try to keep track of everybody, but I mean, there's a lot of folks here. So King Kia, Blue Sunshine Studio, Sunny Sitar, appreciate y'all. We got a super chat from Adam So Tokyo saying, best ending reminded me of Batista jumping Flair. Going back to that one, that was a good ending there. But we're going to get to that. But we got to build the scene. We've got to set the stage first. And we're going to start at the beginning of the show. And it's Cody Rhodes. And he comes out and he talks about how we're in the awkward 2 weeks phase. And he says that He's going to be the best man at someone's wedding. He's going to go to birthday parties. He's helping out the wrestling club. Shout out wrestling club. That's a really cool thing going on. Says he can't do it alone. He asks everyone to point to the sign with him. We get a two sweet, a guns up, and a point before The Rock shows up. And after a crazy reaction, The Rock leans in and whispers something. Later, The Rock says he's not going to say what he said. Cody says he'd rather not repeat it. Justin, this was... there's a lot of things to take away from this opening segment, but the fact that Cody calls out, it's the awkward 2 weeks. And I felt like, yes, it is the awkward 2 weeks, but somehow I'm enthralled after the end of this promo. Talk me through it.
No, this was so much about this was entertaining. It's funny. He said the awkward 2 weeks, because for many, many years, I've always said on the air around WrestleMania season that the second to last Monday Night Raw is an awkward Raw. And what I mean by that, real quick, just to not go too far off a side tangent here, is that when you're building to Mania, you know exactly where you want to be for the go-home show. You know what the last image is you want everybody, the people to see for your top stories. But as you're pacing yourself to get there, and then the build to Mania can be rather long, it's that week prior. Does it become a week of filler? Does it become a week of, oh, crap, we're behind schedule, we got to speed things up? So it was just funny to me when he said that, because that immediately connected with me and resonated with me, creatively. That said, this was well done. I thought Cody's promo was really well done. He managed to keep some fire and some oomph there, but he still is babyface, lovable Cody Rhodes. But he brings it all back. He does all these charitable things. He does all this. I do it because I got to act like the champion, because we don't have a champion here. Like, that was a great touch. And then the choice to have The Rock as a surprise appearance, again, great call, because you're in Chicago. The house has already been sold on CM Punk. Well, not just CM Punk. I mean, Raw's been, 11 consecutive sellouts since Michael Cole touted. So mm-hmm. the roster in general, the show in general, is doing really well. But CM Punk's appearance puts it over the top. And so... you don't need to advertise The Rock. It's not like, oh, we got to advertise The Rock and try to get these final few thousand. No, you got it sold out. So what a great way to, what a great excuse to then have him be a surprise appearance for him showing up. So well done. The whispering, the heat that he got when he backed out of the ring and didn't say a word on the microphone to anybody to hear it. I mean, all well done. And while we're talking about the crowd real quick, just want to give a shout out. If I'm sure you guys all noticed, They did a different entranceway tonight. They did a lower entranceway. They did not have the traditional big Titantron. It was the LEDs, mm-hmm. but it was lower. And you could see the seats sold out above and behind the entranceway, which, Jimmy, I was going back and forth with your co-host and Brian Hebner, and how we're saying how it looks cool. It looks cozy, and it puts emphasis on, look how big this house is. You got fans even above the entranceway here tonight.
Right.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And I want to talk about, first off, I said this on Twitter, but mm-hmm. how do you stay stoned face like when you're in the ring and everyone's just going bonkers? I would have the biggest childlike grin on my face. Maybe this is why I'm not cut out. One of the many reasons I'm not cut out to be a wrestler. If I was The Rock or Cody there and everyone's cheering, I'd be like, hey, we got him, don't we? But I'd be so pumped. But mm-hmm. I want to also add before you get into it is, The fans loved The Rock. The surprise, they loved him, but they were able to turn the fan, like just how brilliantly they were able to turn the fans that loved him.
Absolutely. That's the brilliance of what they did tonight. Because when you see The Rock, that music hits, do you smell? And the place just erupts and goes banana. And everybody loves The Rock. And he makes that entrance and it's big time, and he's the biggest star on the planet, and you can feel it coming through your TV screen, not just for the people there in the arena, they're live, but you can feel it through that screen. It emanates. And then when he got in that ring and him and Cody just stared at each other, didn't say a word, there was that face off. You almost had not quite that Rock Hogan feel, but it was kind of close, because they were just staring at each other and the people were chanting, "This is awesome." Mm-hmm. And when he walked over to Cody, and usually you see The Rock walk over to get the microphone to say something, and he walked over to Cody. They looked at each other for a few seconds, and then he leaned in and he whispered, what he whispered And then he walked out. And all of a sudden, the fans went, no, we want to hear The Rock. We want to hear that cool stuff that spills out of his mouth every week. And that's what disappointed them. And they went, no, USOB. And they started booing. And it was brilliant the way they got the crowd invested in going, there's got to be more to this than that, just that. And then when they did the interviews in the back later, where Jackie Redmond said, you know, what did you whisper to Cody? And he says, why don't you ask him that? And going back to Cody's demeanor, like Justin said, you know, trying to present himself as someone who could be the face of the company with the, you know, the signing the autograph, staying afterwards and going to people's weddings and all that sort of stuff. Yes, he could be that guy. That's exactly who he could be. But then there was that moment where you saw that kind of change in his demeanor and you saw that look in his face and you saw those daggers. And it almost felt like you said, Justin, this tonight could have been the go home show. Mm-hmm. To WrestleMania, but that makes me excited to see, okay, what are they going to do next week now to top this going into WrestleMania the following Sunday, Saturday and Sunday?
It's the fact that they made this such a good show. And again, as we talked about historically, this is kind of the weird, nothing can really happen, but we got to keep the energy high moment. Last thing about this, Justin, and we've kind of touched on a little bit is, I'm listening to Cody talk about all the things he's doing, going to weddings, going to kids' parties, helping kids see the show live. We talk about the face of the company, and I'm listening to this, and I just keep thinking about how the other face of the company before him, John Cena, was someone who would always be going to Make-A-Wish things and doing stuff like this. I mean, we talk about, can Cody Rhodes be the face of the company? Cody Rhodes is the face of the company, right? Like, I feel like he is doing all the things that make you the face of the company. He just doesn't have a championship belt around his waist.
Yeah, exactly. But that's part of the story, right? He's the one. Well, you know, while his opponent Roman Reigns, makes his select appearances, Cody's the one who's headlining every house show. He's the one hanging out for the 30 minutes afterwards, taking pictures and signing autographs with everybody. You know, I mean, so that it all ties into the story. It really, really does. He said tonight, you know, how his match against Roman is his final crack at Roman to get this title. It really feels that way. Like they have really, aside from stacking the odds on Cody of, you know, he's got to get through Rock and Roman on night one. And then if he loses and it's going to be bloodline rules, and that's going to be even steeper of a climb. Aside from all that, I mean, they really had, there's this subcontext of if he doesn't win it here, I just don't think he's doing it. And I don't know if that happens. I don't know what the plan is for Cody. I don't know. Look, LeGreca's going to have to be talked off a ledge in Manhattan. It's going to be an ugly Monday morning. But I mean, that's where we're at.
I know. If I can, yeah, just really, yeah, quickly, just one last thing from me as well. I know a lot of people out there are saying, okay, this has got to happen at WrestleMania. It's too predictable for Cody to win the title. And you may see it that way, but I kind of paint this analogy with it. It's like a movie based on a true story. Like I take the Iron Claw, for example. We know the story. You know, we know what the ending is to that story that's going to be told. It's how you get there. It's how that story, you know, how you get to that ending and how the story is being told that way that is exciting. So I see a point there. Go ahead, Justin.
No, that's a great point. And I just want to, my final point to that, off of what Jimmy's saying, is how I'm saying if Cody doesn't win the title at Mania, I just don't know how or when he does it beyond. I know it's been thrown out there of, you know, Roman, you know, trying to beating Hogan's, surpassing Hogan in the title reign. Days, I know there's a big MSG show in September. I mean, I've heard that fantasy booking, and I get all of that. But as Jimmy's saying about the movie comparison, about how do you get there? You know, Cody got back here again because he won Rumble. I would just be curious if they wanted him to be in a garden show with Roman in September, how do they justify how he gets there? What does he do in these next 5 months that makes it make sense that he got there? You know, with no Rumble or anything like that. So that's, I thought Jimmy makes a great point. I just want to point that out. If you know, I acknowledge that has been a fantasy scenario I've seen some throw out there.
No, trust me, the pencil's out. My brain is working overtime. As LaGreca said today on Busted Open, the wheels are turning. Let's put it that way.
Dylan Matthews says, if Cody doesn't win at Mania, he has to win Money in the Bank. It's the only way. I'll be honest. I feel like if Cody doesn't win at WrestleMania, I mean, he's so good at winning me over, but I feel like if he doesn't win at WrestleMania this year, I might be like, I'm over it. Like, you missed the boat. I don't know if I'm going to be on board for another try.
Jack, I'm with you. I've been saying it's so hard to get a white meat babyface who can kiss babies and be this wholesome of a good guy in 2024 and not have a split crowd. The way Cody came back a few years ago to WWE, I thought, okay, we're popping because Cody's back. He's from AEW. It was a big, like, all this stuff. I was like, it's gonna be a matter of time before it's gonna be, let's go, Cody. Cody sucks. It's gonna be that. Yeah. It's gonna be seen all over again. But it hasn't. I mean, he's holding his own against the freaking Rock. So yeah, I'm with you. If you don't do it now, you are risking just telling all these people, oh, just give up on him. It's not nothing. There's nothing to follow through with.
And one last point, because this is intriguing. I love this stuff.
This is a massive show. Yeah, go for it.
No, I'd love to see Cody next week maybe go to that place where, like Jake the Snake Roberts, not go over the top and yell like Seth Rollins. You know, that works for Seth. Cody needs to go to a different place. He needs to go to that almost cerebral place. Like, you know, I know what you guys are trying to do. You guys are trying to take me off my game. You're trying to make me lose my focus on my real goal here is to finish this story. But don't mistake my calmness and my silence for weakness. Take it as a sign you better be deathly afraid of what I'm going to do to you at WrestleMania, because I'm coming for that, and I'm coming for everything you have. I'm taking it all with me, or something along those lines. Just
yeah.
And do it in a voice, in a manner that's menacing, as opposed to wrestling promo 101.
Yeah, Dustin Engel in the chat says, how many times has Drew lost a title match, but yet here he is again? Cody can get back easy. I feel like it's a different,
I don't know if it's
different
easy.
Level.
I think the difference is, Dustin, and I know we'll get to Drew here in a minute, who's arguably doing some of his best stuff. I think the difference is in the past there on the times when Drew lost, how many people really thought he was going to win in the first place? Whereas Mania last year, you know, Cody had his family front row. He comes back from the injury, wins Rumble. Mania, he's got his family front row. He's even got the late Brody Lee's son, oldest son there, rings. I mean, like, it just felt like this is all there, and he didn't win it. You know, like, I mean, Drew never had that situation where we all thought, well, this is true. This is it right here.
Yeah,
and Drew had a reinvention of himself that is massive. What kind of reinvention of Cody can we get that would kind of resonate with the audience like this version of him is now?
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Drew McIntyre, the next segment I want to talk about is, of course, CM Punk coming out. And he talks about how he may be involved in WrestleMania. He talks about how everyone is talking about him. Finally, Drew McIntyre comes out and he tears apart CM Punk verbally, but Punk is begging him to get in the ring. Seth Rollins comes out and stares down Punk. We get some back and forth before CM Punk agrees to do commentary and Rollins stomps Drew. Jimmy, I felt like Seth Rollins needed to come out looking strong here because he's kind of played the third wheel in the Bloodline situation. He's sort of been the second banana to CM Punk. I felt like he needed to come out strong in this one. He did, but this was also yet another segment that was just awesome.
No, it was. Everybody delivered in this one. And we talked about, well, it feels like every week we talk about how Drew McIntyre is just knocking it out of the park. He has really found something here that is incredible because he's one of those heels that kind of speaks the truth, but he does it in a way where you just say, oh, I just want to strangle this guy. You know what I mean? It just gets you so amped up, and he does it. The crowd's reaction tells you all you need to know, especially in the day and age today where the crowd, the smart audience out there, likes to enjoy the heels and cheer for the heels. It's hard to get them to boo. What he's been able to do is get them to dislike him immensely. And I like that. And Seth, like you said, needed to come out looking stronger than normal, as opposed to being Cody's sidekick for this thing. So they've made a focus on the World Heavyweight Championship match. And of course, CM Punk being added to the mix in this all of a sudden elevates that importance, I think. And I think it's a great move. Now the question is, with him on commentary, how does he get involved? Or if he does get involved in the match in some form or fashion, and if he does, who pays the consequence for his involvement? That's the question now, because both Seth and Drew have an issue with CM Punk, so it's not clear cut that he's going to help the babyface out in this one.
Yeah, Justin, I want your thoughts on this whole segment, but I have a question I want to ask you that I feel like might be spicy. I don't know. CM Punk is one of the best in the world on the microphone, and he has gone toe to toe and beaten some of the very best. He's gone toe to toe with The Rock, with Cena, with MJF. Regardless of your style or preference, CM Punk has been in the ring with him, Cody Rhodes, and he's held his own. But is Drew McIntyre the best to ever take it to CM Punk on a microphone?
I mean, he's up there, you know, because he's shooting, and it, so it does feel like, you know, it does feel like he's getting some good shots. And I don't know if it's best, because you named a lot of memorable, verbal foes for Punk. So I don't know if I'd say the best, but he's certainly getting some shots in. And that kind of leads me into, I have some likes about what's going on here, and I have some concerns. My likes, I thought the segment, this segment was in a Raw that was fire, in a Raw that had so much going on. This segment, I was so tuned in. I wasn't going to miss one word of what was being said. You could feel tension. You could feel so much animosity. And that's a special thing. So I like that from a fan standpoint. I also like the fact that, you know, Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre has felt very fourth or fifth fiddle, because you have all this stuff going on with Cody and Rock and Roman, and Seth's got to be involved in that. And so it's felt very, you know, like, so this definitely gave a huge performance enhancing drug for that feud.
Yeah.
For that match needed. My concern is, I'd have to assume Punk is still months away from being medically cleared. So my concern is, but Punk on commentary and the promo tonight and Punk on commentary mania, that's all exciting. But my concern is, okay, let's say Drew wins the title, which I think he's going to do, by the way. He wins the title. Seth goes away for a little bit, gets some time off, much needed. All everybody's going to want to see is Drew and Punk. They're going to want to see more of that. I don't think you can do 6 months of these guys verbally jabbing at each other and trolling each other. And so then I worry, like, okay, how do we sustain that momentum? And or, okay, do we put that aside? Here's Drew's next challenger. Let's, pick said babyface. Like, I feel like anything you do other than CM Punk is going to feel just secondhand. So I'm like, I'm just concerned. Like, if you can't pay off right now, Drew and Punk, I'm just concerned about what they're going to try to do otherwise. You know what I mean? I mean, whenever Punk's healthy, it's going to be a great deal. You know, we got a Drew versus Punk match. We got a Seth versus Punk match. I mean, they got some business down the line here when Punk's healthy again. But I'm just concerned about I'm concerned about Drew losing. He's going to get his title victory in front of the fans. Now he's the champion on Raw. I'm just worried about then, like, him losing momentum because the guy that everybody really wants to see him against, he can't go against.
Yeah, he's probably going to have a string of contenders that we don't really believe in to face off for a little bit.
That's the unfortunate part, yeah.
But Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this. This is I thought this was a great show. I thought this was a great episode. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a great segment. I loved everything about it. But as I'm analyzing it, maybe nitpicking a little bit, I know that it seemed like they got where they wanted to go and everything ended up the way it needed to end. But it felt like there was a moment there where it wasn't going the way it was supposed to. I don't know if you felt this way, where Seth Rollins was like, maybe he could be a referee, or no. Yeah. Maybe he could do commentary. And then everyone started chanting referee. And it felt like it got like something went off script there. Was that just me? Or do you think that everything went according to plan? It felt like they had to adjust or correct a little bit there.
No, you do have a great point. And, you know, sometimes what I like about this iteration of WWE, and especially during these promo segments that they're doing that go a lengthy part of time, but they're still very entertaining, is I think the guys have been given a little more creative freedom to express themselves, as opposed to, okay, here's your piece of paper, go out there, do your promo as best you can. And sometimes you can't be yourself. What we're seeing is these guys being themselves. So they're given a little more creative freedom to go out there and do it. So I think maybe that was a little called out there moment, so to speak. And I like the idea. Well, you know, he said referee, but you can't count with that hand. And this, well, I can count. Yeah. And he uses his left hand as opposed to that. So I get what you're saying. I think maybe it was called on the fly, but I think it was fine because it felt real. And just if I could make a really quick comment about CM Punk, because I know, you know, everybody's got this conceived notion of CM Punk and his demeanor backstage and stuff like that. I'm seeing a different CM Punk now. This isn't the CM Punk that we saw before, the disgruntled guy who sat down and did the pipe bomb and all that kind of stuff. He looks like he's in a good space. He looks like he's happy to be there. And when you hear him talk and when you hear him give that promo, it sounds genuine. And I believe in him. I believe that he's happy to be there. He still may have some fences to mend with some of the talent in the back from the back in the day or whatever happened that, you know, that we're not aware of. But at the same time, I feel that he's in a good place and he's happy with where he wants to go and he's happy to help. And my understanding is he's been down to NXT and talked with some talent there and he's doing all that sort of stuff. He's watching matches in the back and all that kind of stuff. He's not leaving early like some people like to do. So, you know, I think he's in a good place. And if he's in a good place, you expect a lot of good things from him in the future.
Yeah. And you want to talk about calling it out there and have a little more freedom. I would definitely say that could be that was on display when we got to the point of Punk and McIntyre's exchange of, oh, you're the chosen one. Mm-hmm. Say the name of who gave you that. Who's what did he say? Who's positive virtue or whatever? I refuse to believe any writer wrote that down for him. That was Punk doing Punk.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and but it was a memorable moment of the night too, and it worked.
No, and really quickly here, I remember stuff like from Bully and Mark Henry talking about this, where you know what, you may go over your time. Back in the day, when you went over your time in your segment, you got an earful, especially if it didn't go well. If it went really well, then hey, we're gonna cut time over here. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. Now all this was great. But it really led to how the show ended. And this is where everyone has probably wanted us to get to. So get your popcorn ready, because we're about to talk about one of the most cinematic endings to WWE Raw in a very long time. Okay, we had Jey Uso and Shinsuke Nakamura. They have a match. Jey Uso wins. But then, of course, there's a Cody and Jimmy and Solo. They're fighting backstage. The Rock shows up and he beats the snot out of Cody Rhodes, and they go out into the rain, and The Rock says, look at your hero, look at your son, as the rain is pouring down on a bloody Cody Rhodes. Jimmy, you said you were excited to talk about this. I'm excited to talk about this. This was just a phenomenal way to end the show.
I thought so too. I thought it was incredible because we've seen different iterations of The Rock since he's come back. You know, the one that gets on the mic and these diatribes and using kind of salty language, to put it mildly, and these little catchphrases that resonate with the people. This is The Rock volume turned way up to a different level. He was violent. He was visceral. And you could feel the rage coming, like talk about through your TV screen. You felt that rage coming from The Rock. And every time he really laid into Cody, where Cody was left laying and selling, he would turn to the camera and like he was talking to you personally, or even maybe talking to Cody's mom personally. It felt very, 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 man, I don't know, hard to put into words. And then going outside and doing it out there, and the nice little plants they had out there with the vodka sign in the back, which was obviously, you know, his brand of vodka. But one thing I found interesting was when they panned over to that transport truck that was parked on the side at one of the loading docks. And who are the two guys on the side of the truck?
John Cena and Stone Cold.
Yes. And if it ends up being a Bloodlines match at WrestleMania, who would be two nice people to kind of intervent themselves into this to even the odds, so to speak? They don't have to get involved in the match personally, but they could even the odds at ringside and keep the Bloodline at bay. Maybe I'm just throwing it out there as two names that could possibly do it. Can you imagine when Cena's music hits and then all of a sudden the glass breaks?
My eyes will pop out of my head, and I will, my head will explode.
Just one little thing before that all happens, as they're about to get into it, you know, they all come ringside before the match even starts, because I don't want them to overshadow Cody's moment if it's to happen at WrestleMania. Again, I'm fantasy booking here. This is what I do. I can't help myself. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say before the match starts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
It's Rock, Solo, and Jimmy come down to ringside. They look like they're going to take matters into their own hands. Then you hear time to play the game. Hunter walks out on stage, points down at those guys. We don't know the physical limitations of Hunter, whether he can do a little bit or not. I don't know. But let's say he points down at those guys. Then he points to the entranceway. And then you see those superstars come out to side with Cody. Remember, my mind is just racing 900 miles a minute right now. Winning the championship at WrestleMania and holding them up on their shoulders. Was it, think of who it was.
Mania 10 with Brett.
Yes, with Brett. When Brett won the title at WrestleMania, and the entire babyface locker room emptied out and held him up on his shoulders. Can you imagine Cody having that moment where he finally defeats Roman Reigns and all that locker room, including Cena and Austin, and even maybe the dead man comes out, pick them up on their shoulders, and they all congratulate him and send him off that way? I think that would be amazing.
That would be a visual for him to get lifted up on the shoulders of legends, not just the locker room, but the legends lift him up would be a really cool visual. But Justin, I want your thoughts on this ending. And again, I feel like I don't know if luck's the word, but the rain, like I said, just made it feel so cinematic. In fact, I got to throw back to a comment from a little bit earlier. I don't know how to pronounce your name. I apologize, but Huge Toad 2011 says, can we officially dub this the cinema era, Justin? What say you?
I didn't know that Paul Levesque had the ability to book the weather, but I mean, it looked like something out of an action movie climax The Rock could be involved in. And of course, when you're dealing with rain, I feel for the camera people, the grips, the lighting people, because that's not fun. Hopefully they're all okay and their equipment's okay.
Yeah.
But it looked great and it came off great. And, you know, I think I went back and tried to watch read lips and this and that. And I've seen other people say different variations of what I'm about to say. I think what The Rock said to Cody was something to the effect of, I'm going to make you bleed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tonight, I'm going to make you bleed. Yes.
And, you know, so of course, and of course, Cody doesn't want to say it. And, you know, one, because he doesn't want to give it credence. Kayfabe doesn't want to spoil the ending of what the Rock coming back here in the main event. And I think that's what we got. And I think that maybe that comes into play next week on Raw, where Cody reveals, you want to know what he said to me? This is what he said. And yeah, you did it. You did it to me. You made me bleed. And, you know, Cody, to me, you know, we've seen Cody be slapped at the Vegas kickoff event. We've seen Cody's mother get talked about. At what was done to him tonight, he was left bloodied and beaten outside of his bus. And while The Rock's talking trash still to the camera to Cody's mom, Rock's dropping F-bombs. You know, obviously they censored it. But to me, this now warrants, once again, and I think Jimmy touched on it earlier, this warrants whatever we get out of Cody when we next see him, which I assume would be next Monday. It's got to be the most intense version of Cody. It's got to be. I mean, you know. It's got to be. Well, that's where we're at this point. But this was a phenomenal ending. I knew, you know, Michael Cole kept saying, is it going to come around? And don't forget, the bloodline's still around. The bloodline's still around. Like, don't forget, the bloodline's here. You know, that match ended at 10:53 Eastern time. I was like, oh, my God, 7 minutes? We finished the last match? So I knew something was coming. I was happy to see it. This was a great ending. This was a great Raw. This was.
Yes, it was.
Again, if this is the awkward 2 weeks out for Mania, I can't wait to see what they got for Brooklyn next week on the go home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be incredible. We have a super chat from 80 super fans saying, I hate to be Debbie Danner, but you don't think it would have been better build for WrestleMania if it was Roman beating down Cody instead of The Rock? I want to piggyback that with something Majestic Marie said earlier, saying, there's been a better build with Rock and Cody. If we didn't know any better, it would look like those two are fighting over the title, not Roman. Justin, are those valid concerns?
They are. And my partner in Sunday Crime, Jonathan Hood, and I, we spent a lot of time yesterday on Busted Open on SiriusXM talking about that dynamic of Roman's kind of where he's fallen in the rankings of all this. Now, I think a lot of it is just, again, we can't get to night two of Cody versus Roman until we get through of night one, which has The Rock involved. So it's kind of like just that right there kind of puts this situation of The Rock's going to be at the forefront. Oh, by the way, he's The Rock. He's the loudest and most energetic guy in the room, most charismatic guy in the room. There's also a sense of, like, we've seen Roman and Cody before. We know Rock and Cody has a lot is getting really personal. Roman and Cody is kind of like, we kind of know what it is. It's Roman's the title holder. Cody needs to finish that story and win the title at WrestleMania. So, again, it has harmed Cody and Roman has suffered a little bit, but I get why it has. I get the logic of why so much time is being given to this deal with The Rock, because again, that's night one. We got to get through that first. And that's the one that has more, a more personal touch to it.
Ooh, yeah. You got my wheels turning, Justin. I'm sorry. Once again.
There you go.
I keep thinking that you're exactly right. All those points are valid. And you do feel at this point that Rock has overtaken this whole situation. But it doesn't take very much to get it back to Cody and Roman, because all you have to do is maybe like on the Thursday night SmackDown, right before Mania. Rock gets in, they do the introductions with the bloodline. And as we all know, when they're all standing in the ring, all of the bloodline is off to the side and Rock is in the middle of the ring. Have Rock get in there. And right before he starts his promo, have, like he did the other week where he stopped Rock from talking, before he even says a word, Roman stops and goes, don't worry, I got this. This is about me now. This is my business to take care of. You step back. You know, or something along those lines, which will get that, whoa. Even Rock maybe, you know, give him that glance. And you talk about the cinema era. I think that would be telling another story. And then Roman could go on, as we've seen on the Pat McAfee show today that he can go on the microphone.
You know?
So have him cut a promo saying, look, all the bells and whistles are nice, but when it comes down to WrestleMania, when it comes down to the title match with me and Cody, it's about us two. It's about the head of the table proving that he belongs where he is and that this title stays around my waist and I will break records and I will continue to be the leader of this company going forward. And, you know, Rock almost feels like he felt snubbed and maybe set that table for them down the future. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think to Justin's point is once we get to night two and Cody's music hits and Roman's music hits, we're going to be on board. It's going to be big. It's going to feel massive. They're going to be. So it does feel like the build has been to The Rock versus Cody. But I also know myself, and I feel like I know wrestling fans. Once we get to night two, we're going to be on board. No one's going to be like, I feel like the main event was the tag team match yesterday. You know, we'll be like, this is great.
And it's also, we have to keep in mind the situation here. It's not like, well, damn, these tickets just aren't moving. We gotta sell this event. And, oh, damn, nobody's buying. I mean, you know, the thing's sold out. They just open up a limited amount of other tickets that are going to sell out in a matter of moments. And, you know, they don't release specific numbers with how it's on Peacock. But I guarantee they will be touting right after this WrestleMania. This is the most watched WWE PLE ever on Peacock. Which I will believe will actually be factual. I don't know what that number is. I don't know how many million or whatever they're going to say, but so it's a different situation too. You know, everything's sold, you kind of get to take your time and have your own cinematic spin on this at this point. Everything's everything's sold and paid for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a, let us know your thoughts, by the way, in the comments, on what you're thinking is going on with The Rock and Cody and the Bloodline and everything else. But we also had another championship showdown. Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch faced off on this one. Rhea's upset that Becky isn't focused on her, and Becky comes out and accuses Ripley of not wrestling. Ripley then uses the I don't want to wrestle in front of these people line, where Becky says that Ripley just likes to post on social media and Becky's about talent. Ripley then takes shots at Becky's daughter, and that's when things get really personal. Mm-hmm. Dom, he catches a stray in the face, and we get a real emotional version of Becky Lynch. Justin, this was probably the most emotional I've seen Becky Lynch. I thought this was her best outing in a very long time. What are your thoughts on this one?
It was the most emotional we've ever seen her. I'm looking forward to this match. Okay, I really am, and I love Rhea. Everybody knows I'm Rhea's my. My number one in the women's division. I'm not going to lie. I feel like WWE, you can hear the fans. It's not just women in Australia. The fans are just chanting mommy. Rhea's just becoming endearing to them. Mm-hmm. But WWE doesn't want to have Becky go into Mania as the heel. I don't know if it's because it's just that, you know, they like her as the face. She's got a new book out. Whatever. So, you know, it felt like they were trying everything they could tonight to choreograph the audience. We haven't seen Rhea with Dom as much lately. There was a couple weeks span there where they didn't have Rhea be seen with any of Judgment Day at all. Mm-hmm. They had her with Dom tonight, arms around each other. Of course, Dom's a heat magnet. She's got Dom written on her cheek. Mm-hmm. And then they go with the whole thing where they pull the Becky and her daughter line. And then Becky gets real emotional talking about her father, which I did not know this. If this is true, it's very sad. Talk about her father, I guess, passed away, never got to meet her daughter. So, like, it went 0-60 real quick for me of getting real personal. We went from, oh, Rhea, you never wrestle, to, and you just put videos of your ass on the internet, to, you just talked about my daughter, and let me talk about my late father. Like, it got real, like, it feels like they are just trying, they're pulling every last button and string possible to, like, tell you, boo Rhea, cheer Becky for this match. That's fine with the attempt, but I gotta say, when they get to Philly, and Philly on its best day is a crowd, be prepared to have Becky booed and Rhea cheered. That's all I'm gonna say. It's gonna be the ladies are gonna try their hardest. It's probably gonna be a really good match, But I'm telling this to Rhea. I'm telling this to Becky. I'm telling this to the office. Be prepared. Becky's going to get booed by the majority of that stadium. Rhea's going to get cheered.
Yeah, Jimmy, literally in my notes, I say, are they playing with fire, trying to get the crowd to boo Ripley when they clearly love Rhea Ripley? This one, I agree with Justin, felt very heavy-handed, almost to the point where Rhea Ripley didn't seem like the same character she's been over the past few weeks. But, I mean, the crowd still just loves her. Like, at what point do you pivot? I don't know. I mean, they seem to know better than I do, but it just, to me, I feel like you're squandering the fans' reactions by forcing them to try to go a different way, it feels like.
No, it does kind of feel that way. And there was a definite attempt to get the crowd to boo Rhea Ripley. And by putting her out there with Dom was the obvious, easy way to try and do it. But at the same time, even with Dom out there, it felt at best a 50-50 split for Becky. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. And it's going to be tough to paint who's going to be the babyface and who's going to be the heel. I think what they have to do is just stay their course, do what they're going to do, let the fans dictate who they want to boo for, who they want to cheer, especially in Philly, which we know is a crowd that's going to be tough to get the crowd on board with this. Hopefully get past Mania, and then people will start to get on board the Becky train, if that's the case, if that's what the direction they're going. Other than that, Rhea has to. I almost felt like there was a moment there tonight where she was going to tell Dom to hit the bricks, but that would have made her a complete babyface. So I think they're going to wait for that at least until the time is right in their minds to make her a complete babyface. But it did feel a little awkward at times. And I did like the fire from Becky. And I know people are going to say, well, why didn't Cody do that when they were talking about his mom? And, you know, Becky did it. You know, it's a different story. We've got a different story going here. And one little thing, because I saw the comment in the section over there, that punch that Dom took, that was one of those JBL, Ron Simmons, we're going to apologize now because we have to make it look good. But, you know, and applause to Dom because he knew it was coming and he took it like a champ.
Yeah, he got punched good. Becky gave it to him.
Yeah, as someone who's been hit by a Road Warrior animal very hard and actually hard-weighed one time, I know what it feels like. You got to take one for the team sometimes.
But if you're Dom, it's best for you. Take a good-looking real shot from Becky versus taking a working punch from Becky.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Because especially a character like Dom, that image of him with his face, you know, is gold for someone like him and in his character and what he does. That's all good stuff for him. So,
and that's one little thing that'll turn the crowd towards Becky because they love the fact that Dom got sauced the way he did.
Yeah,
and Rhea and Dom do need to break up soon, but Rhea doesn't tell Dom to hit the bricks. We got to find out Dom's two-time and Molly. That's going to be the real heat.
And I want to say, I feel like people will like Becky, but I just think everyone likes Rhea Ripley more. I think she seems like a Philly favorite. That crowd's going to love Rhea Ripley. It just feels like there's only so much you can. I don't know. It's a tough spot.
She stands out. She's different from the rest of the female roster.
Rhea versus Becky is the bigger and sexier marquee, but I think that it would have been, and again, they're kind of fighting against Rhea turning. I don't think that the office necessarily thought that Rhea would just end up breaking out into the fan favorite she has being in Judgment Day. But like what they had going into Australia with Elimination Chamber with Rhea and Nia, that feels like that would have been better for Mania. But again, I know that Rhea versus Nia is not as big as Rhea versus Becky. And, you know, so we are where we are. But again, WWE, they're going to boo Becky at Mania. Spoiler alert.
Justin, I've got a weird question for you that just kind of came to mind. They have the little chart they show every now and again of the most played characters in WWE 2K. And it's always Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Rhea Ripley, Jey Uso, and then I can't remember number five, I think Gunther. The fact that she's the most popular female character, should that influence your booking, knowing that that's the one everyone wants to play as? Should that change the way you view someone based off of who's getting played as the most?
I mean, that's just one fun analytic. I mean, you have to take in consideration, okay, who's the demo, who's playing the games, you know. So yeah. I mean, it's an interesting stat, but I would not use that to drive all of my booking. I mean, no, but what you drive your booking is just listen to the crowds. I mean, listen, and this is not just a a recent, I mean, this has been months. She's been part of Judgment Day, and they will boo Priest, and they'll boo Finn and JD, and they'll definitely boo Dom, but Mommy's become a thing. Like I've said it before, she's the closest thing to China that there ever was in the sense of, you know, here's a physically imposing woman who she doesn't have the traditional Barbie doll look. But the fans have just gravitated towards her, and oh my God, she can kick ass. She's a badass. You know, there's some sex appeal there too. You know, she's got a special mixture. That's just special. That's what it is. So, I've said it before, she needs to hold on to that title, declare her officially as a babyface, and then she has a whole fresh set of opponents to work with, because now she can now work against all heels, because she's been working against all babyfaces.
We got a tag team match, DIY versus New Day, and it's friendly, but it's a little confrontational. Awesome Truth are on commentary. They're hilarious. Judgment Day comes out and cleans house. Eventually, they gang up on R-Truth and beat him down as well. A fun little note, Drew McIntyre is chatting up Paul Heyman in the scene in the background of the promo. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on the Drew McIntyre, Paul Heyman. Is something coming from this, or is this just a little red herring?
It could be both, but I hope it's something that's coming to fruition because, you know, Paul Heyman associated with the Bloodline for so long, Paul Heyman would, you know, we talk about Drew McIntyre's ascent right now and how great it's been and his work has been fabulous. Can you imagine how a Paul Heyman associated with a Drew McIntyre would elevate Drew McIntyre that much more and make him that it'd be almost like guilty by association, just him aligned with Paul Heyman automatically makes him the guy to talk about, just like he did with Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman is the guy in the background technically with Roman Reigns, but at the same time, Paul Heyman is a master at being able to elevate talent with his words and with the way he presents them. And he would be a perfect side piece. I hate to say Paul Heyman is a side piece. It almost feels like I should be punched in the mouth for saying that. But you get my point.
Yeah.
It would be a tremendous, there just has to be some kind of split between the Bloodline and the Wise Man that would precipitate that. But once it happens, oh man, those two together would be gold.
Justin Bernie DC with an interesting comment in the chat here says, and also the dynamic with Punk being the first Heyman guy.
That was actually where my mind went first when I saw the Easter egg in the background was because I was fresh off of seeing Drew, you know, sparring with Punk. So yeah, I don't know. I love those. I love, you know, I mean, that's another one of these things they do in the Triple H era of how they shoot Raw, that they always, there's always little things just to watch for.
Now with this, of course, there's a six pack challenge at WrestleMania and two teams have yet to be decided. Motor City Machine Guns, as reported by PW Insider, say Saturday night's tapings were the final TNA performances for the Motor City Machine Guns and that their contracts are up on April 1st. Now, Justin, I can't help myself. I'm fantasy booking myself. What happens if Motor City Machine Guns make a WWE debut in Philly?
Look, we were talking about Forbidden Door WWE style with Bloodsport earlier. I mean, so certainly it's possible, right? I don't know. I don't know. I truly don't know if Shelley and Saban they've been together. They that tag team's been around for so long, and obviously they are huge pillars to the TNA company. I don't know if they are two guys that Triple H, you know, always had an eye on and, you know, kind of wished he could have had over in WWE or NXT and just it never worked out. Cause again, he wasn't the decision maker. I don't know. The thing about that, the last time we had any situation like this with tag team surprises in Mania, was in Orlando with the Hardy showing up, and coming back. And if you're the office, there's no real risk here. These are the Hardys. These guys, the Hardy Boys, you know, are in some of WrestleMania's greatest highlight reels ever, you know, from Mania match of the TLC. So that music, as soon as it hits, as soon as we see him, people are going to know. Shelly and Saban don't have that same cachet with a stadium full of people at WrestleMania. So I would be a little concerned about that falling flat. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be a little concerned of, you know, like, I mean, you know, it'd be one thing to have him show up as a surprise in like an NXT situation. But I would be concerned of like, okay, we're going to have it 70,000 people at Lincoln Financial Field. There's a mystery tag team. We know all the tag teams in this tag team, but there's one tag team that's a surprise. I would fear that fans' fantasy booking is going to fantasy book not them. They're going to fantasy. We're in Philly. Are the Dudleys making a...
That's where my mind was going.
You know what I mean? And so I just fear that when you start having the fans... I don't know. So that would be my concern would be with that, you know.
There is a tag team match happening at NXT Stand and Deliver, which could also be a place. I guess they could. They've already figured that they're figuring that one out. But of course, you know, it's Mania weekend. Adding someone isn't out of the ordinary. Jimmy, thoughts on? Do you know much about Motor City Machine Guns? I know most of their career is TNA. I'm a huge fan of them, and I feel fortunate I've gotten to call a couple of matches those guys have been in for Prestige Wrestling. Great dudes as well, and great wrestlers. Any thoughts on them?
No, I'm a fan of theirs too, and I've got to see them, you know, especially here in Ontario doing some independent stuff. They are a very, very solid, great tag team, and I think I have to side a little bit with Justin on this one. I don't know if WrestleMania is the right place. Yes, that audience, for the most part, might know who they are, but there will be that larger audience that's watching that'll go, wait, I'm not familiar with these guys. Mm-hmm. So maybe, like you said, Jack, NXT might be the better place to debut them and get the ball rolling there if you want to bring them up to the main roster. And that's the beauty of having a developmental system like NXT that has the exposure. It kind of does. Obviously not like the main roster exposure, but still has a certain amount of exposure. Bring them in for that, and they could also not only be a great tag team to add to your lineup, also be a great tag team to help teach the younger teams tag team psychology and, you know, how to work in a tag team style and not having to put each other's bodies at risk, which we see a lot of lately. You know, I don't want to go on a tirade about that right now, but a lot of stuff's being done right now that makes me just cringe, and not for anything other than fear for the safety of the talent.
Well, and I should reiterate, the report says that their contract's up April 1st. There's no report that they've signed with WWE or that they're going to be there. That is just my, I'm a big fan of the team, so I want to see them wrestle, or maybe re-sign with TNA. I think that'd be great for TNA as well. But just good guys and a good team. Phil Kappel saying, Shelly's done a lot of singles in Prestige and Revolver. So, he's great. Saban's been doing a lot too. He's really good as well. We got this was an interesting one. I want to make sure we cover this one. I know we're getting a little bit long, but Sami Zayn had a match with Big Bronson Reed, and Gunther didn't think Zayn would win. Chad Gable didn't think Sami Zayn would win. And Justin, would you know it? Sami Zayn didn't win. Apparently Gable is going to try to help Sami Zayn get ready. Was this shocking to you? I'm kind of surprised at how weak Sami Zayn's being presented going into this one.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, it's because there's no real plan to have Sami Zayn beat Gunther. Nor do I think he should. Sorry, Sami Zayn and Sami Zayn fans. I would think that you're on the path to fight Gunther for the IC title, that you do not show Sami Zayn getting pinned or anything. I feel like this just tells me we're going to get like Sami Zayn, like that. But when we get through Mania, we get maybe Sami Zayn and Chad Gable doing something, and Chad Gable takes a heel turn. Mm-hmm. I don't buy, again, especially to the level that Gunther has been protected for 654 days of this IC title reign. Obviously, he's a fan. The office is a fan of him. Triple H is a fan of him.
I don't think that you have this kind of a run and then you have it end with, here's a guy who loses 2 weeks out of Mania. Oh, he's down on his luck. He just doesn't know if he can do it. He's being told he doesn't have the mental fortitude. And then up. What do you know? He figured out how to do it. I just don't see that being the end to Gunther's run. I don't see them taking 600 and at that point 60-something days and that being how it's just all of a sudden 2 weeks of Alpha Academy school, Sami Zayn cracked a code that nobody else could. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if that's how it goes down, I'll be supremely disappointed. I don't think it's going to be, but I would be disappointed and shocked if that's what they ended up doing.
Yeah, Jimmy, I especially taking the loss, but also, and this is, of course, a Bronson Reed show. We love the guy, but he's been very beatable lately. It's not like Sami Zayn lost to Cody Rhodes going in, you know, tonight. That makes it even tougher for me to accept that he's got a chance of beating Gunther.
No, I agree with that. And Justin's in my mind again. He kind of almost read my notes. I was thinking the same thing about him and Chad Gable kind of working together to get Sammy in the right frame of mind going into the match at WrestleMania against Gunther. But Chad Gable has that Kurt Angle quality about him where he could sound like the babyface, concerned babyface, trying to help his compadre, so to speak. And, you know, at the last second when you least expect it, turn the switch and, you know, screw him out of the title. And then you have a ready-made feud, and those guys can go. And then you have a quality matchup with two guys who can not only talk but can go in the ring, and you have a rivalry that can last for a little while involving Alpha Academy and then Sammy needing some help along the way or something. But it does make me also think that going into WrestleMania, we have several title matches, and you can make a case for all of them where the titles can change hands. I just worry that you don't want to, in my opinion, do too many title changes to take away from that big moment from Cody if it is going to be his moment, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we have, of course, Ricochet and JD McDonagh had a good one. Candice LeRae and Ivy Nile had a match where Candice LeRae continued to be a jerk, and Andrade beat Giovanni Vinci to kind of round out the show there.
And there was... I think it was Gable talking to Sammy after Sammy lost. Another Easter egg in the background. If you look closely, it was not as visible as Heyman was earlier with Drew. If you look closely, there was Andrade, I believe, talking to, Dom.
And they've been
teasing that Andrade wants to talk to Dom and maybe some business, and Mommy's kind of telling him to like chill out. So, yeah, just a little Easter egg.
Maybe Andrade brought him a bag of ice for his chin. Something definitely going on with Judgment Day there. Justin, anything else to add with those matches? I thought Ricochet killed it. I want to also add, Justin, your thoughts on JD McDonagh. My notes here, is he kind of becoming a modern day Ziggler in that he just he doesn't necessarily win all the time, but he has great matches and makes people look amazing whenever he has matches with them.
Well, Dolph Ziggler's our newest colleague at Busted Open, so I will not compare anybody to Dolph Ziggler at the current moment.
Fair enough.
I will say that the Ricochet, that was a crazy finish to see the Shooting Star Press done to your opponent who's standing vertical. Well done there. Candice LeRae, I like what they're doing here. I like, you know, she is all of a sudden just between verbally berating Maxine to she's live cheat and steal to get a victory, and Indy Hartwell's kind of like, I'm not about this. Like, I like this because it's something defining. When I see her have a match, I now pay attention a little bit more because I'm watching for something that I can define her character. So she's standing out. She's the poison pixie or whatever she's been. Sorry, she was very generic in the past. This has started to give me something, so I like that. So shout out to that. This was a great Raw. This is a really strong Raw. Brooklyn, you're up. They just set a high bar for next week.
Follow that.
Yeah, Brooklyn, you better bring it, because also Roman and The Rock are going to be there. So you have no excuses. It's going to be huge. Jimmy, any thoughts on those final parts of the show? Like I said, the Andrade, the Vinci. By the way, hard to pay attention to that Andrade match after that opening chop. I don't know if you remember that one. That was a good one.
No, it was a solid. It, again, one of those ones where you're going to have to feel it to give the audience something to go, ooh. When you hear the audience go, ooh, then it feels like something. And to Justin's point about that, the Shooting Star Press? That Ricochet did phenomenal, but it takes two guys to pull it off as beautifully as they did, because they made it look tremendous as opposed to a totally choreographed. Because a lot of times you make a move like that, that looks like, you know, these guys worked it out in the back. Here's what we're going to do. The timing of JD McDonagh and Ricochet in performing that move was immaculate. And, you know, big props to Ricochet, because it looks like they're finally starting to do something with him. He's starting to climb the ladder. You know, it doesn't have to be a fast climb, slow climb, but at least I think they're recognizing what they have in him, because the audience loves him. And Candice LeRae, I like the little heelness in her. That's working for me as well. And, you know, let me ask you guys something off topic here, because you mentioned the video game earlier. Do you guys play the video? Are you guys video game guys?
I play the 2K a lot. I haven't played this year's, but I played a bunch of them. Yeah.
No, because I'm wondering if Gunther's chops hurt as much in the video game as they do in real life.
They should.
That's the virtual reality games, Jimmy.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha. Again, but no one chops as hard as the Big Show, and as someone who has felt it. And unfortunately, it wasn't in the ring. It was in the hotel lobby, but that's a different story for another time.
Oh.
Or if, unless you want to hear it,
the lobby or the bar?
No, the lobby. We were in Ireland for 2 days in the same venue, so we were doing two nights in the same venue.
That explains it.
So it was a long overnight experience, and it was coming to about 5:30 in the morning when, you know, a few pops for everybody, and, you know, we were playing the stupid chop game that Fit Finley had made up, where we cut the cards and low man gets chopped by whoever cut the. So I wasn't involved in the game. I was staying out of it. I'm saying, I know better than this. It doesn't matter how much I've had to drink. I know better than to do this. So just that moment, it was about 5:30 in the morning. Big Show comes out of the elevator. He's heading to some television appearance he had to do and stuff like that. And at that same time, they had talked me into, okay, I'll do one cutting of the cards. And I lost. And I lost to Finley. And I go, oh, this is going to be bad. And he goes, no, I'm going to pass my chop over to Big Show. And he goes, what's going on? Says, oh, you got to chop Jimmy. Oh, do I? If it wasn't for the furniture, I would have ended up outside. That's all. It was like.
And is it 5:30 in the morning?
This is like 5:30 in the morning after an all-nighter. So, yeah.
Oh, that hurts even worse. 5:30. Yeah, no kidding. Everything hurts at 5:30.
Exactly.
Not to mention whatever buzz he built up. But what a sobering chop that is.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, he's not in a pleasant mood getting up at 5:30 in the morning too. And I mentioned earlier about getting busted open by Animal in a backstage segment. That hurt way worse.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I mean, Jimmy, you don't get enough toughness points.
No, well, you know what? Sometimes you just got to suck it up. Like I said, the referee's in the background. We're not the stars of the show.
You should have told Big Show that before he chopped you.
Well, I wasn't going to argue with him at that point.
makes me think of my forearm I took from Brodus Clay in Georgia. He hit me in Georgia. I wound up in South Carolina.
No. Oh, I feel you, bro. I feel you.
You guys are tougher than I am. I get tired sitting down at a commentary table too long. You know, I'm like,
you're a lot better looking than us, Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be preserved.
My back hurts. I guess this life's tough. Not for everybody.
Oh, and a quick thank you to Justin and to Jonathan Hood, your co-host on Sundays, for mentioning my name during the Bronco Lubitsch discussion.
If only you could have heard when we were off camera. I told him I started going down a Google wormhole. And then I came and I couldn't like stop myself laughing. I came across a video that said Bronco Lubitsch, the best or the worst referee ever. And it was like clips of him. And I was just losing my stuff. I couldn't.
We're counting with his foot because the poor guy couldn't get up and down. You know,
I have a quick side question for you, Jimmy. This is what I thought about. Should refs ever change their cadence of a count? Like certain times it feels like a faster count is better than a slower count. Is that just me, or is there times that you believe that like in a roll up situation that you do that kind of a quicker count because it's supposed to feel like a surprise or whatever?
Theoretically, no. You're not supposed to change your cadence. It's supposed to remain the same throughout the match, whether it's supposed to be a surprise finish, whatever the case may be. But what happens sometimes, and I've been guilty of this as well, full disclosure, that you get so amped up in the match that sometimes you tend to, at the finish, count a little faster. I tried my best not to and keep it the same. The only time the finish should ever change is if the referee is bumped in some form or fashion and he's crawling back to make the count for the finish of something that he didn't see, whether it was a belt shot or a chair shot or whatever the case may be. And the count is slower because he's selling the bump he took. In that case, it's fine. But otherwise, the cadence should not change, in my opinion.
Earl always did that great. After he had been knocked out, if he was counting the heel victory, he was he was so great at like the dead to rights.
Because I thought the finish for the Candice LeRae one felt a little fast, but I also felt like it felt good in that way. I was like, okay, I felt kind of like she stole it a little more because it was faster. But then
you could tell, sorry, Jimmy, you could tell. No. I think in the moment she felt the ref was going a little fast because she was scrambling to get her feet to the ropes to sell the cheat.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like you said, Justin, it gives the talent more time to cheat the way they're supposed to cheat on, as opposed to making a fast count. Again, sometimes the audience notices that the count is a little faster and the heat goes to the wrong person.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just thought that I figured I'd ask. This is a great episode. This is a great Raw. I think this is going to be a really good WrestleMania. Everyone in the chat, like, comment, share, subscribe. Also, lurkers, like, comment, share, subscribe. Before we go, though, Jimmy, overall final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Overall, I'm stoked. This episode did it for me. I loved pretty much everything, you know, and I'm looking forward to the, you know, we're in high gear on the road to WrestleMania. So hopefully they don't slow down and they just speed up, and I love it. And as far as where you can find me, here on Monday nights with Triple J, just doing what we do, what we love. And on Wednesday nights, Jack, you know, we do the AEW recap. And I like the direction they're going. The last couple of weeks have really been resonating with me, and I hope they keep that momentum and keep going in that direction. And of course, you can catch me on the Reffing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This past week, we had Dylan Postle, a.k.a. Hornswoggle, which we told some fun road stories, like the time of him and Tony Chimmel almost got left on the side of the highway by me and Larry Heck, the trainer, in the middle of nowhere. You can catch the podcast to find out the real story behind that. And, of course, my ref and rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, just trying to have a little fun, sometimes tightening the screws, but sometimes putting stuff over. It's not always negative in some people's minds. And I do it from my perspective, and those opinions are those of mine and mine alone.
Definitely recommend everyone check that out. Bernie DC, by the way, funny enough, says that they actually put the slow ref count in the 2K game due to a ref bump, which is a nice little detail. So I guess in the game,
someone's paying attention.
Those games, it's crazy how much cool stuff they're able to get in those games now. Justin, where can the world find you and all the stuff you're working on, and any final thoughts?
Yeah, great show, I think, as we touched on. So really, really looking forward to Mania. At Justin LaBar across the socials. And you know, I'm here on Monday nights. That's a constant here on Monday nights with you guys for the post-Raw podcast. And then you know, most Friday mornings, I'm on Busted Open doing spar with LaBar, myself, Dave LaGreca. It was Dave and Thunder Rosa. Now we have Nick Nemeth, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler, joining the folds. That was fun getting to chop it up with Nick. And then every Sunday, all three damn hours, you get me and Jonathan Hood hosting every single Sunday morning. And we will have a show next Sunday, which is Easter here for those celebrating it. We're still going to have a show for you. It's the Road to Mania. We could not have a show. So we will have a show next Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, March 31st. And then Mania weekend, as all the shenanigans are going on in Philadelphia, and have your fun if you're partaking in that. Jonathan and I will be in the Busted Open Studios holding it down, doing both Saturday and Sunday morning. So the morning of night one, we will be able to react to SmackDown in the Hall of Fame. We will be able to preview night one. And then Sunday morning, we will be able to react to night one of Mania, preview night two of Mania. It's going to be a lot, but I'm really looking forward to it. That's a tremendous. And hey, shout out to my fellow Pittsburgh. He's not a resident anymore. He lives in Indiana. My fellow Pittsburgh guy, Pat McAfee, for giving us a busted open plug on Monday Night Raw. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate that.
You guys know everybody. Very cool. I definitely check out both these guys' shows. I'm Jack Farm. You can find me at Real Jack Farm across all social media. I will be on the NXT after show tomorrow, and I'm on the AEW after show here on Wrestling Inc. I'm just chatting pro wrestling, and then I'm going to be on Monday too again, but then I'm off to Philly, where I'm going to be a part of the biggest WrestleMania of all time. It may not be the most stupendous, but it's at least the biggest number. That does it for us.
Watch those lurkers lurking around you in Philly.
Yeah, if you're lurking around, come say hello. I'd love to see you. And if you're going to go to the GCW shows, come say hello. I'll be there. And, of course, the WrestleMania stuff too. But I'll see you there. Until next time, make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. And now I am hitting the end stream button.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.